The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to do something a little different than what we usually do. Our format is usually we interview a guest, we cover a very specific subject as in-depth clinical focus on something like supplements for surgery or hormone replacement therapy, or liver disease, or Alzheimer's. We've done a series of clinical focuses on various subjects. Today we're going to do a little bit of a potpourri. What's the occasion for this potpourri? Well, I just got back from Las Vegas, where I attended the annual conference of the American College for Advancement in Medicine. This is an organization that I belong to for, well, pretty near 30 years. I discovered it in the very beginning of my medical practice, and I've been attending meetings ever since. It is perhaps the oldest integrative medicine group in the United States. At this point, it is by no means the largest, but it's one of my favorite organizations. I was president of that organization a few years back in the early 2000s. And I've been very involved in selecting speakers for that organization. I was program director for it. And it's where I go to kind of recharge my batteries and learn stuff and meet like-minded colleagues. Over the years, I've developed a lot of professional associations, deep friendships with like-minded practitioners who are out there doing the kind of medicine that I do. For those of you interested in ACAM, if you're a practitioner, you can go to acam.org. I recommend very highly that you go to a meeting, see if you like it, or you can get, now they have online curriculum. They have courses that you can take, webinars and online courses. And in particular, what ACAM highlights as its flagship therapy is chelation therapy. And for those of you who are patients, and if you're interested in chelation or IV treatments, intravenous treatments, or integrative medicine that is of high quality and cutting edge, you can go to acam.org. They've got a physician finder. So that you plug in your zip code and you can specify that you want somebody within 25 miles of you or 50 miles of you, and they'll give you a whole printout of all the ACAM members and descriptions of the practices of physicians that you might consider becoming a patient of. So apropos of chelation, let's get started. You know, get set for kind of a roller coaster ride, because I'm going to go through the presentations of several speakers. It's kind of like an overview of some of the content of the ACAM meeting that I just attended. One of the most exciting speakers was Dr. Tony Lamas, who is actually a conventional cardiologist, a researcher, who a few years back agreed to study chelation therapy. If you don't know what chelation therapy is, it's an intravenous treatment. Patients come to the office and they sit in chairs and they get a solution of EDTA run through their veins. They hang it in a bag or a bottle. And basically, maybe overly simplistically, it's kind of a Roto-Rooter treatment for your circulatory system. It's designed to get heavy metals out of your system. That's what chelation is. It removes lead, mercury, cadmium, and other heavy metals from the system. It's a means of detoxifying the body. And around, 5 or 8 years ago, Many chelation doctors were under fire because it was thought to be, you know, the ultimate form of quackery to suggest to patients that giving them intravenous EDTA was actually going to help their circulation and reduce their risk of cardiac events. And actually, many doctors got in trouble for doing it and even had their licenses challenged. It was highly discouraged by conventional doctors. And Dr. Lamas, who's the author of the TACT study, who we interviewed here on Intelligent Medicine, and we will we have another interview scheduled with him to update us on the TACT study. He himself said that when patients came to him and asked if they should undertake chelation therapy for their heart disease, he said, no, don't do it, because it's unproven, and it may be harmful and dangerous. Don't go there. Just stick to conventional therapy. But he had an open mind, and he's a researcher, and he decided to do a study on chelation therapy. And initially, we were both delighted, but at the same time, kind of suspicious, because we were concerned that maybe the study was designed to be the death knell of chelation therapy. Sometimes, you know, we knew that chelation therapy was beneficial for patients. It helped patients with claudication or circulatory problems causing painful walking to walk longer distances. It helped patients feel better who had angina. It helped patients recover from strokes. But we were concerned that, you know, sometimes studies, you know, we see this all the time in studies of vitamins, suggesting that in the study, the vitamins don't work. The way that the study's set up, it kind of will miss the benefits of a certain type of therapy. But anyway, long story short, study was done, and the results were quite remarkable in favor of chelation. And Dr. Tony Lamas presented some of these results, and I'll share these results with you, because in this big study, which, by the way, was funded by the National Institutes of Health to the tune of $30 million. It's a big government study. They found that overall, the chelation therapy reduced the risk of subsequent heart attacks or the need to have a stent or bypass surgery. By the way, this is in patients who already had a heart attack, so these are high-risk patients. It would reduce the risk of subsequent problems 18%. Now, that's pretty good. But you can slice and dice the data, and you'll find that if EDTA was, that's the chelation agent, was combined with some oral vitamins, a special vitamin cocktail that patients took by mouth in addition to the chelation, their risk was reduced by 26%. That's a pretty dramatic reduction. Even that reduction would be very, very satisfactory if we were testing out a drug. You know, 25% reduction or 26% reduction in subsequent heart problems or deaths. Very, very nice result. But going even further, when they looked at diabetes, the patients with diabetes enjoyed a 41% reduction with just IV EDTA alone. And when you combined the EDTA with oral vitamins, there was a 51% reduction in the risk of subsequent problems or death. The death rate, by the way, in these diabetics was reduced by 43% with chelation alone. So this is just astoundingly good results. You know, and kind of the Tony Lamas, Dr. Lamas, kind of joked with us, and he said, if this were a drug that was made by a big pharmaceutical company, he said we'd be having this conference in Paris, and we'd be sipping champagne at the expense of the pharmaceutical company, because that would be the result, the launching of a multi-billion-dollar drug, a drug that could actually reduce death in diabetics by 43%. Would be a considerable breakthrough. There's no drug on the market like this. And even statins, by comparison, there's something called a number needed to treat, the number of folks you need to treat with a treatment to reduce either one death or one event. And what they found with diabetes, when you combine EDTA with multivitamins, the number needed to treat is 5.5. So you'd have to treat 5.5 people to save one person from an event or death. Compare that to the number needed to treat for a statin. The number needed to treat is actually about 20 for statin drugs. Statin drugs are the standard of care for patients who are at risk of heart attack or stroke, and every diabetic is told you need to be in a statin drug because by definition they're thought to be at risk. So these results were resoundingly good. And, you know, the big question is why isn't conventional medicine acknowledging this? Well, you know, there's a culture gap and a knowledge gap, and conventional doctors can't seem to get their head around the idea that chelation therapy is a very, very valuable tool against cardiovascular disease. However, the government, in the person of the National Institutes of Health, is voting with their dollars because they're sponsoring a TACT-2 trial, a second TACT trial. They've allocated money to prepare for a part two to see if they can understand better how it works, the mechanisms, what patients it's best for, how most safely and properly to administer it. This is an ongoing process. So I'm very, very excited to hear about that. And, you know, we all stood up and gave this guy a standing ovation because this is a real milestone for an organization which has kind of staked its reputation on chelation therapy. And it could have gone badly. And had the study shown that, you know, it's basically a waste of time or potentially harmful or dangerous, that would have been the death knell of chelation therapy and perhaps the death knell for ACAM. All right, so moving right along, we also looked at the issue of toxicity and toxic load. Toxic load was a concept that was presented by a couple of my good colleagues, Dr. Lynn Patrick, an OBGYN, Dr. Landa. And what is toxic load? Well, you know, it has to do with all the stuff in our environment that's bad for us. Toxic load includes the things that we're exposed to, like insecticides, herbicides, drugs, solvents, metals. Infections, too, add to our body's toxic load. It could be parasites. It could be infections like strep. Other toxins or toxins that we find in foods that are like molds that grow on foods like aflatoxin, which affects peanuts. There are things that we breathe that could be problematic. The pollen that causes us to have allergies, mold, very, very harmful environmental toxin that can really cause a lot of problems. Physical toxins like electromagnetic radiation, which we get from our phones and our Bluetooth devices and our computers, but also the radiation that we get from too many x-rays and CT scans. Our lifestyle has an impact on that, whether we drink too much or smoke too much. Hormonal imbalance is also a source of toxicity to the body. You can literally be intoxicated. Women in particular, we see, are intoxicated with excess estrogen that isn't properly removed from the body. There's also psychological toxins, poor coping skills, belief systems, external stresses. So all that adds up to our toxic load. And for some of us, our cup runneth over with these toxins, and we manifest symptoms. This is one of the principles of environmental medicine. So, you know, what are some signs that maybe you're not handling environmental toxins? How do you know that you're toxic? Well, digestion problems are often a clue if you're constipated or bloated, or alternatively, you have diarrhea, or if you're nauseous all the time or have heartburn, you may have intestinal toxicity. If you have elevated cholesterol or triglycerides, that's a form of toxicity. If you're overweight, if you have allergies, if you have bad skin, if you suffer from fatigue, or if you suffer from mood problems, anger, depression, irritability, or brain fog, if you have dark circles under the eyes. That's actually a sign of allergy. If you have ups and downs of blood sugar, particularly if you have elevations in your hemoglobin A1C, that usually involves some degree of toxicity. If you have hormone imbalances, PMS, or bad periods. If you have allergic problems, asthma or nasal congestion. If you're sick all the time, you have frequent colds, flus, sinus infections. If you have bodily aches and pains, fibromyalgia, or joint pain, that may involve impaired detoxification of your body. Insomnia, or if you have what we call multiple chemical sensitivity, if you walk down the detergent aisle in a market, or if you visit a department store and you feel overwhelmed by the chemical odors, it may mean that you know your body is so toxic that it's these additional insults are the straw that breaks the camel's back, because you can't handle any more additional toxins. Your liver is overburdened. Your kidneys are not properly filtering out the toxins. Your digestive tract is not eliminating them. So what are some of the supplements that can be helpful for that? There are many. Riboflavin, vitamin B2, niacin, vitamin B3, vitamin B6, folic acid, B12, glutathione, branched-chain amino acids, bioflavonoids, phospholipids, antioxidants, vitamin C, E, selenium, copper, zinc, and manganese, CoQ10, the thiols that you find in garlic, onions, cruciferous vegetables, silymarin, which is a wonderful liver detoxifier. In fact, it's such a potent liver detoxifier that if you take it with medications, you may actually cause your body to process the medications more rapidly, and it will reduce the effectiveness of the medication. So you have to be careful. Pycnogenol is also a potent antioxidant to use. And if you want to get proper elimination of toxins, you also need these amino acids, glycine, taurine, glutamine, N-acetylcysteine, or glutathione. We actually use a glutathione IV to detoxify patients. The sulfur-containing amino acids, cysteine and methionine. So this is just a 20,000-foot overview of the detoxification issue. And you got to work on digestion. You got to work on the microbiome. You need to balance hormones. There's a whole lot of components to the toxicity issue. You need to remove foods and beverages that likely contain toxins or antigens, either chemicalized food or foods that you're allergic to. You need to take a survey of your home or workplace and clean up sources of chemicals. You need to get adequate vitamins. Adequate protein, too, is important in the detoxification process. You need to hydrate well, because the solution to pollution is dilution. You want to actually wash away or dilute and pee out or poop out or sweat out the toxins. You can even consider sauna as a means of detoxifying, or use chelation therapy to get rid of heavy metals, which are a form of toxicity. All right. So moving along to the next area that was covered. Dr. Russell Jaffe was recently a guest on this podcast, and he was talking about allergies, and he was talking about testing, and he had some useful insights into just some simple tests that you can use to ascertain your biological age or your ability to withstand the aging process. And so these are what are called biomarkers. Biomarkers are, you can get very, very complicated and fancy with testing. But according to Dr. Jaffe, the essential predictive biomarker tests to determine your functional age, I'll give them to you. They're hemoglobin A1C, which should ideally be around 5 or less, your highly sensitive C-reactive protein, which measures inflammation, which should be ideally less than 0.5. Your homocysteine, which is part of what we call methylation, which should be less than 6. Your vitamin D, which should be 50 to 80. Your what's called omega-3 index, which is whether you have enough omega-3s and whether you have a reduced burden of bad polyunsaturated fats, the omega-6 fats that you get from poor quality oils, that ratio should be greater than 8%. And then there's oxidative stress markers. The one that Dr. Jaffe likes to use is 8-oxoguanine, which is a test that hasn't been, it's been available all over the country, but not available in New York. But I have good news, because as of what I learned at the ACAM conference, it will soon be available in New York as a marker of oxidative stress and antioxidant status, whether your body is being overwhelmed by free radicals or whether you have enough antioxidant protection. And that's very cool. I think that, these are tests that are, some of which are not performed routinely by conventional doctors. You need to get these tests at a minimum to properly understand how your body is working. And of course, there are many more that I can elaborate, but those are the key ones that Dr. Russell Jaffe recommends. He's a veteran of the field of integrative medicine. He's very well respected, and he is trained as a clinical pathologist, so he knows his tests, and those are the ones that he thinks are of prime importance in assessing a patient in an integrative way, in a functional medicine way. All right, let's pause, because we divide these podcasts into two parts. And I know we're zooming along, a lot of information here, but stay with us, because I'm going to share with you some more clinical pearls, which I have gleaned from the most recent ACAM conference in Las Vegas. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.